show us your heart. Show us your way. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that your will is not a mystery, that the Bible says that we can know your will for our life. We can know. And so, Father, I thank you that you are revealing plans and purposes and directions and timing to us tonight. Lord, I thank you that your word says that you will lead us on the best pathway for our life. The best, not the good, not the okay, not the mediocre. You will lead us on the best pathway. Lord, your way always leads to what is right. It always leads to what is good, what is best. And Father, our heart's desire here tonight, on a hot summer night, on a Wednesday, we are here because our heart's desire is to know you, to follow you, to be filled with your presence. Lord, show us what we need to see. Answer questions that some people in here have had. Lord, I thank you that you are good and that you're our shepherd. You lead us. Father, I declare tonight that I follow you. Say that. Say, I follow you, Lord. I follow you. I won't follow circumstances. I won't follow people. I won't follow money. I won't follow these temporary things, Lord. I want to follow you. I want to be moved by you and nothing else, Lord. I want your word, your presence to move me, to lead me, to guide me, and nothing else. Lord, I thank you that I'm not moved by peer pressure. I'm not moved by finances. I'm not moved by these things. I'm moved by you. Lord, when you say go, we go. When you say stay, we stay. We hear your voice. We hear it. And we obey. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, I thank you that your word says, I called on you and you answered me. Man, there's people in here tonight, you've been calling on the Lord. His answer is in his presence, is in his word. The answer's there. The answer's there. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that as we hear your word tonight, Lord, we say this often, but we believe it every time. We declare it, that your word penetrates deep within our hearts and it brings health to our body. We have your promise on it, Lord. Your word says that if we'll let the word of God penetrate our heart, it will bring health to us. And Father, we're expecting health. Health in our relationships, health in our bodies, health in our finances, health in our mind. Lord, I thank you that your word brings health. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Why don't you say hi to somebody and tell them you're glad they're here tonight. Hello, hello. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church tonight. Wednesday, hot summer days on a Wednesday. A lot of times people just say, oh, this is so hot, I'm just going to go home. But you are here tonight, amen? And you are going to get something from God tonight, right? You didn't come just to show up. You came to fill up, right? And so we're going to fill up on God's word. We're going to get what he has for us. Let's just determine right now. We're not going home until we get what God has for us. Amen? I believe it. We had such a great service last week. It was so funny because I had a message prepared. And before service, Scott always asked me like, oh, you know, he always asked like, what do you think's going to happen in the service? And I said, he asked me about my message, and I said, I don't think I'm going to preach this message. I think that you are probably going to do something. And he was like, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I said, nope, somebody's got something. And then it was me. And so we went totally off our notes, didn't use our notes at all or anything, but we had a great message. If you weren't here last week, I've had a few people text me and say, man, I've been so tempted to turn to someone else when I want to talk about a situation or I want to vent about something, and I just keep seeing Devon and Chris standing on the front, and just, you know, that's how offense comes, and that's how we feed it. You know, we want to get somebody on our side. If you weren't here last week, ask somebody who was. We talked about being offended the whole night, and the just the power of offense. It has a divisive power to it. And when you have offense, you have strife. And the Bible says where there is strife, there is every evil work. Isn't that an incredible statement? You know, you think about all kind of evil stuff, and you're going to get all of it. You're going to open the door to all of it if you open the door to strife. And so, you know, I know I've talked to lots of people who are married, and, you know, a lot of times people come in, they're married, and they're all bent out of shape about something, and they're like, oh, you know, he doesn't pick up his socks. And it just makes me so mad. And I get so mad. I've actually had somebody tell me this one time. And it makes me so mad. I just can't keep my cool because he won't pick up his socks. And I looked at the person. I wanted to just like really be rough with him, but I wasn't. That's why I don't do a lot of counseling, because I can be a little on the mean side. And when it comes to that kind of thing. And I just looked at him and I said, what you're telling me is that those socks are worth every evil work coming into your home and into your marriage and into your life. Because you're letting socks bring such strife and division and offense in your home over socks. It was just socks. She was like, he's a great husband, but he won't pick up his socks. And I was like, that's what I told her. I said, you want my advice? She goes, that's what I'm here for. And I looked at her and I said, pick up the socks. That's deep. That's my word for you. Pick up the socks. She's like, they're not my socks. It's like, it doesn't matter whose socks they are. Pick the socks up, because you're going to ruin your marriage over socks. Isn't that crazy? But if you think about it, a lot of times the things that get us so offended, they start as being just socks. But then because we're in an attitude of offense, we've already got offense on the brain, then the next thing they do, oh, not just socks. You know, now they're doing this. And then that's all we can see is the negative things that someone does. That's all we can see. We can't see clearly anymore. We can't see the good in them. We can't see the gift in them. We can't see the call of God on them. We can't see the provider in them. We can't see anything because of socks. And so I didn't plan on talking about that again tonight, but here we are. Amen? Don't let little things turn into big things. You know, the Bible says it's the little fox that spoils the vine. But here's why the little fox spoils the vine. Because the little fox eats the bottom. He eats the bottom of the vine, and everything comes out of the ground, and the vine grows, and we've all seen movies, maybe you've been to a vineyard, but the vine comes from the ground, and then it goes up, and it goes all over the fence, and it goes down, but the little fox, he's going to get the bottom, he's going to get the base, and so don't let socks, don't let little things turn into big things. The next time a sock, you know, and just your sock could be anything. It could be somebody didn't say hi to me. They didn't talk to me right. They did this. They did that. Whatever anybody's doing to offend you. But you need to look at it for what it is. It is just the enemy trying to get under your flesh, amen, so that he can come in, so he can get permission, because strife gives permission. And you got to say, no, it's not worth it. I'll pick the sock up myself. It's not worth it. I'll do the dish. I'll do whatever. Pray about it And then we talked about last week, a lot of times what we want to do when we're mad or where somebody does something we don't like or somebody dropped the ball. Anybody had somebody drop the ball on them? Anybody ever dropped the ball on somebody? Exactly. You know, whatever it is, a lot of times we don't want to go to God first and ask the Lord to help us work it out. We go to somebody. And we're like, because strife loves company. Offense loves company. And we go to somebody else and we're like, can you believe this? They did this and they did this. And then we get that person in on it. And then what's happened? We've caused division. And division is the work of the enemy. If you're dividing a situation, you're playing for the wrong team.
Hello.
You're on the wrong team. You say, but I'm right. Being right is not always godly. It's not. Sometimes people, your desire to be right about something that is not a salvation issue. It's not a life or death issue. But your desire to be right about it will take you right out of the presence of God, even though you might be right. A lot of times it doesn't matter who's right. It matters that there's peace and there's no strife. God will take care and make what's right, right. And here's an example that I've told this before, but it's a good one. You know, and he's not here, so we'll talk about him. You know, Pastor Scott, one time we were driving down the road, and there was this sedan. It's like a four-door car with a trunk, you know, like a regular car, for those of you who don't know what a sedan is. And so it had a dryer in the trunk. No lie. It had a dryer, like a full-on clothes dryer, like somehow they had gotten it in the trunk, and then it was all, you know, like, what are those straps? Bungee cords. It was all bungee corded in there and everything. And so it drives by, and I'm thinking, man, they got a dryer in that car. And Scott says, man, did you see that? They got a washer in that car. And I, on the inside, I'm like, it was a dryer. But I've been married for 22 years almost. So you know what I said? Nothing. I said, that is pretty incredible that they got that thing in that trunk. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible. That took some skill to get that in there. And we just went on our day. But see, I've done it the other way too, where I've said, that wasn't a washer, that was a dryer. No, it wasn't. Yes, it was. That was a dryer. It was a dryer. No, it wasn't. It was a washer. You don't even know what a dryer is. Oh, I know what a dryer is. I'm the one that uses a dryer. You don't use a dryer. You wouldn't know what a dryer looked like. I've done that too. And then what happens? Who cares if it's a wife? It doesn't matter, right? There are certain things in life that you just have to get the maturity level where you can look at it and say, it really doesn't matter whether it was a dryer or it was a washer. What matters is they got an appliance in the trunk of a car. That's what matters. And it was pretty impressive. That's what matters. And so especially if you're married in here today, that's just some free marriage advice for you. You know, the sooner you can learn that certain things don't matter and just pick up the socks, you're going to save yourself a whole lot of strife. Amen? Your head's going to stop spinning and you're going to be like, this is so much easier doing it this way. Amen? And you say, but I'm right. Who cares? That's pride. Pride wants to be right all the time. And pride comes before a fall. But a humble spirit, a humble attitude will recognize that it just really doesn't matter, some things. Now, if somebody's talking about whether Jesus is King of Kings, that matters. I'll go to the mat with you on that. That matters. But whether it was a washer or a dryer, doesn't matter. See the difference? That's a big difference. You say, well, how do I know if it matters? You know if it matters. If it's not going to matter tomorrow, it doesn't matter. If it's not going to matter in an hour, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And there's just a lot of things we just got to let go. Because offense, you know, the enemy is trying to do all he can to weaken the body of Christ. You know why? Because the body of Christ is the answer that people need. We are the carriers of the gospel. We are the carriers of the manifested anointing of God. We carry that. The body does. And so if the enemy can weaken the body, it weakens the effect the body has on those who need it most. And one of the biggest tools he uses is offense. And so you just got to recognize it. He uses it in your marriage because he loves a broken marriage. He uses it at church because he loves offense in a church. You get offense in a church, you weaken the church. You weaken the anointing the church has, because the anointing cannot flow through strife and offense, because it's so opposite of God. And so we have to quit being, for lack of a better word, babies. Quit being a baby. Quit being a baby about stuff. Now, some stuff, you know, there's things that have happened. Man, it really hurts your feelings, and it hurt the toughest person, most spiritual person there is. It hurt your feelings too. But it doesn't make it less of a tool of the enemy. We got to just see it. When that starts coming, you just got to be like, no, not today. I recognize what that is. That's offense trying to cause strife, trying to cause division. I'm not playing that game today. I'm over that. We're overcomers. We got to be over some of this stuff. When people say get over it, well, get over it. You're an overcomer. That's your job, to get over stuff, right? That's just good preaching. I don't care what you say. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. We stopped off here last week by the unction of the Holy Ghost, and so I just felt led today to keep going. Amen? Because how many got a breakthrough? Tonight over in youth group, Mike Prediger is preaching, and I know he's doing a great job, and he's preaching a message called Maintain Your Breakthrough. Maintain Your Breakthrough. Because all the kids just went to camp, and, you know, they all went down front, and the power of God was there, and the anointing of God was there, and, you know, it's just awesome, and they cry, and it's just powerful. It's powerful. You know, they break through things, right? And so, and that's awesome. Well, I seem to remember a few weeks ago that we had, like, adult camp, right? We had adult camp here every night of the week. It's kind of like camp, and a lot of you got a breakthrough. And so it's like, how do you maintain your breakthrough? You maintain your breakthrough by growing after your breakthrough.
Amen.
If you don't grow after your breakthrough, you constantly need a breakthrough, right? You're just constantly needing a breakthrough. Do you know, as believers, we're not supposed to live miracle to miracle to miracle. You shouldn't be believing God every month for your rent money and your house payment money. It shouldn't be that way. Now, sometimes we have seasons of that, but that should not be our lifestyle. God wants to, we're supposed to go from glory to glory. We're supposed to grow, amen? We're supposed to grow in how we handle things with people. We're growing our relationship with God, growing our finances, growing all these areas. And so when we have a breakthrough, maybe you had a breakthrough of who you are in Christ. You had a breakthrough of a call of God on your life. You had a breakthrough of healing from hurt and pain. You had a breakthrough either at camp or here or listening to a message or wherever you were. How do you maintain that? Because you can't expect to live in breakthrough all the time. We're supposed to break through things, grow, and then we're going to come to other things. We're going to have to break through those too, but we're not going to be breaking through stuff every single day. We've got to grow. We got to grow up. And so the way that we maintain our breakthrough, if you received healing, whether it's emotional healing or physical healing, whatever kind of healing or healing in a relationship, and you received healing, you laid up here on the floor, and God did a work in you, and you received healing, how do you maintain that? Because we've all seen, and probably we've all been, the person that just constantly goes up for prayer for the same thing. Right? Was the presence and the power of God not available to break through when you went up for prayer? Of course it was. You broke through. But if we're not careful in that, in after we break through it, we'll go right back. We'll go right back, or we won't grow to the next level. And then we're like, man, I need a breakthrough. Well, there comes a time where you need to be the one teaching other people how to get a breakthrough, right? And so how do we do that? We do that with 2 Peter right here, 2 Peter chapter 1. The way you maintain your breakthrough is you grow. You grow after it. But here's where people miss it. They miss it here. Everybody wants the supernatural power of God. Me too. But if that was all we needed, we wouldn't have the word. Wouldn't have the word. Because if you don't renew your mind through the word, your mind is not renewed by laying on of hands. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says your mind will be renewed by the laying on of hands. Your mind is renewed by the word. Right? We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so we have to have the supernatural with the word. So if you had a breakthrough by the power of the supernatural power of God, that's awesome. If you want to keep it, you better get the word. Because you can't only pick one. We need both. Amen? And that's why the Lord gave us both. We have the Holy Spirit and we have the word. We need both. Amen? And so Peter's talking here, and we talked about this last week, and he's talking to believers, because in verse number 1, he says who he is, and he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's like, listen, if you're now with us, if you're with the family of God, if you're with the believers, then this is for you. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In the knowledge. You want to hold on to your breakthrough? Get the knowledge. You got to get the knowledge. Because if you don't, you're going to be constantly needing that hands laid on you. Which, if that's how you want to live, that's up to you. But you know what? God wants to bring you up and up and up. Amen? He wants you to get through some things. You know, the word breakthrough means that you break through. It means you get through something. Doesn't mean we live in it. Doesn't mean we soak in it. Remember those old commercials with Madge? You're soaking in it. How many remember those? Thank you. Doug, you know you remember those. You're not that young. Devon's looking at me like, nope, don't get it. He grew up on the islands. But, you know, sometimes once we get that breakthrough, if we don't get the knowledge, then we just revert back to what we broke through. It's like we make a U-turn. I'll tell you a funny story. I was going down to this meeting, actually to a Rhema meeting with Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. And it was, I mean, it was so far down in Miami. I mean, it was far. And so I'm driving, and I have Siri. I mean, sometimes Siri is just seriously, right? So Siri is telling me where to go, and so I get to this place. I've never told this story because it's very embarrassing. I get to this place, and she says, make a legal and safe U-turn, right? Anybody ever hear her say that? Make a legal and safe U-turn. So I make a U-turn, and I go down. You know what she says next? Make a legal and safe U-turn. So I go down and make another U-turn, and then you know what she says? Make a leap. And I'm like, Siri, what is going on? I'm like literally going in circles. I'm making a legal and safe U-turn, and I'm looking all over. I mean, I cannot find where I'm supposed to be. But then I go to make one of my U-turns, and it's right there. The place I'm looking for, this huge, I mean, big church. It's right there. It was there the whole time. It was there the whole time. But what happened when I would make my legal and safe U-turn, I'd just go by it. And then she'd be like, go down a little bit, make a legal and safe. Oh, you passed it again. Make a legal and safe. Oh, you passed it again. Make a legal and safe. And so finally I was like, oh, this is humiliating. I hope to God nobody's looking at me, right? Because I'm literally doing circles. But you know what? That's exactly what sometimes we do spiritually. We get a breakthrough, and it's right there. But we're like making legal and safe. There really shouldn't be legal. We're making U-turns, and we're coming right back around, and then there's God. God's going to give us another breakthrough, but because we don't grow, we're coming right back around. Do we need that same breakthrough? I mean, I've seen people that need the same breakthrough over and over and over again. And you know what? God will give it to you every time because God is merciful. But you know what? There's a whole lot of backtracking that you do not have to do if you will grow after a breakthrough. God gets you through it. Now it's time to grow. It's time to get more knowledge of Him. It's time to renew your mind so you don't fall back into that same trap. Because if you don't renew your mind, you're going to do the same things that got you in that same place where you needed that same breakthrough. And you're just going to keep doing legal and safe U-turns. Make a legal and safe U-turn. And God will give you a break. He'll give you as many breakthroughs as you need. But you're going to, that's a lot. It's a lot on you spiritually. It's a lot on you emotionally. It takes a toll. And that's not how it's supposed to be. God is the God of the breakthrough. That's one of His names, is God of the breakthrough. And so if He gave you a breakthrough, then you need to grow once you're through. Because if you don't, you're going to be making a U-turn. And so here in verse number 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. You know, grace is the power of God, but you know what peace is? This is a great word, peace. If you study out the word peace, especially in the book of Ephesians, where Paul's talking about peace be unto you, do you know what that word means? It literally means, here's one definition for it, the battle is over. Isn't that good? He's saying peace to you because of God of the breakthrough. Peace to you. The battle is over because God got you through. Amen? The battle is over because Jesus defeated the enemy. He's saying peace belongs to you because your enemy is defeated. Isn't that what happens when nations are at war? When one nation defeats the other one or it gives up, what happens? They say, it's peace. War is over. It's peace. Why is there peace? Somebody won. Somebody won. Well, you know what? Somebody won. Jesus won. And He's giving you the peace. Your enemy's been defeated. And so every time you see that word, don't skip over it. A lot of times we skip over the first two verses in the Bible because it tells who's writing it. And then they almost always say, grace and peace to you. That's powerful. We could preach a whole message just on that. Grace, the power of God, is for you. God's riches at Christ's expense is for you. It's towards you. It's towards you. All of God's power is towards you. It's for you. And peace. The battle's over. You're the winner. Amen? You're on the winning team. You know what? It doesn't matter whether you sat on the bench. You know, players that never played a single game, they never got on the field, but if they were on the team and their team wins the Super Bowl, do they get a ring? Yes, they do. There's a whole lot of ring wearers wearing Super Bowl rings. We don't even know their names because they were never on TV, but they get the ring. And so maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're like, well, I haven't really done anything. It's okay, Jesus won the Super Bowl for you. Amen. And you get the ring. And the ring shows that you are victorious. And so when Peter's writing here and he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. In the knowledge. You got to know that the battle's been won. You got to know it's been fought. And you got to know it's been won. Because if you don't know that, you're not going to come from a place of victory. You're going to come from a place of war, like you're still fighting. No, I'm not fighting. I'm standing. Amen? My job is not to win the war. My job as a believer is to use my authority that God gave me to enforce the victory that Jesus won for me. Amen? I'm not trying to win. I already have a ring. I've already won. My team already won. And that's important to know. And that's why Peter's saying, grace and peace be multiplied to you. The more you know about it, the more it's multiplied to you. I'll tell you one of the best things you could do in your life, if you battle with being victorious, if you're always trying to feel like, let's just be honest. You got to be honest with yourself. If you're always at a place where you think you don't have the victory, that you need to get the victory, the best thing that you can do is do an in-depth verse-by-verse study of the book of Ephesians, because it will teach you that the battle has already been won, that you're on the winning team, that you've been raised up together with Christ. You're not trying to get with Christ. You're already raised up together with him. You're already seated with him. That will help you immensely. And once you get that knowledge is in you, the power of your understanding of what the battle is and that you want it is what? Multiply. But if you're like, well, I think I heard Pastor Peggy say something about a ring, and I get one, and yeah, I get a ring. Amen. You know, you're going to the devil like, yeah, I get a ring. And he's like, a ring for what? Right? A ring for what? He will challenge you, and you will not have the knowledge to maintain your breakthrough. You will not have the knowledge to maintain the breakthrough that God gave you. And then you're going to come whining back in, going, oh, I wish Richard Moore was here. Oh, I wish we could go to camp, blah, blah, blah. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Because what you're really saying is, I wish Jesus would come back. Jesus has already done what Jesus is going to do. Amen? Wouldn't it be great? And when the next time that the Spirit of God begins to move in that way, which doesn't have to happen through a person, it happens through the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't it be great if the next time that happens, you don't have to make your loop and come back around, but the Holy Ghost, because you've grown, you don't go back around, you go up. That's just Jesus talking to you right there. Wouldn't it be great if we go up? Instead of having to get all bandaged back up and built back up and, you know, get back through and get that breakthrough from whatever happened. And if we hold on to the breakthrough through growing in his word, so then when the Spirit of God gets to moving, right, that we don't have to make that legal and safe U-turn. He's just like, ooh, I'm taking you up higher. Amen? That's good. How are we going to do that? You gotta do what the word says. Gotta get that knowledge. I wanna break down to verse number 5. Break down. I don't know where that came from. I wanna go down to verse number 5. He says, now this is Peter talking. He's talking to believers, and he's saying, you gotta have the knowledge. And he said, all this great stuff has happened to you. Verse number 4 says, you've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Right? And he says that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature. And then verse number 5 says, but also for this very reason. Say that with me. For this very reason. Because you got the breakthrough, because you got the supernatural power of God, because of everything that God has done for you, that he set you free, and the chains have been broken, and you've been set free from stuff, and you're no longer slave to it. He says, for that reason. For that very reason. You're saying, well, I don't know what to do now. For that very reason. You know what you need to tell these young people, and what we do tell them? When they say, man, camp set me free, and camp did this, and camp did that. You know what we say? For that very reason. For that reason. Because God did all that in your life. He says, for this very reason, giving all diligence. How much diligence? All. He's like, give it your all. Give it your all. All diligence, he says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. It says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. And you know what? That's exactly how I was when I was looking for that this church has several thousand people in it. And it's right there. I was blind to it. And because I was blind to it, I kept passing it. There are things that God wants to do in your life, things that God wants to show you, things that God wants you to hold on to. But if you do not grow in your knowledge, if you do not have virtue and knowledge and goodness and all these things, if you don't have those, he says, if you don't have these, you are short-sighted even to blindness. And you're going to be like, oh man, I don't know where God's at. He was at camp, but he's not here. No, he is here. But you are blind. You are blind. You're short-sighted. Right? And so we got to do what Peter tells us to do. And so when we look at this, you know, this is like a prescription. And I've shared this before. Anybody ever take a prescription? You know, it gives instructions, right? It gives instructions and it tells you how to take it, when to take it, how much to take it. But you know what it also has when you turn the bottle? It has side effects. Right? This may cause dizziness. Don't operate heavy machinery or whatever it says. But you know what? This prescription has a side effect too. It's saying if you don't take this, if you don't take this prescription, it could result in spiritual blindness. That's good. That's like, man, I want to see what God has for me. How about you? I want to see answers to problems that I have. I want to see how to be in my relationship with my husband, with my church, with people. I want those answers. But you know what? Sometimes we are so blind to stuff. Like the lady with the socks, man. She was making the biggest deal out of a pair of socks. She was blind. I opened her eyes. Because sometimes we're just blind. You know, you ever hear that story, you can't see the forest for the trees. Some people don't get that. Are you here and you don't get that? Raise your hand. Be bold if you don't get it. I know there's people here who don't get it. The reason you can't see the forest for the trees is because you're in the forest. And so all you see are trees. You don't see that it's a big forest. All you see are the trees. And that's how we can be spiritually, where we're blind to stuff because we have given all diligence to add to our faith. And so we need to do some adding tonight. You guys ready to do some adding? We only got a little bit of adding time. But let's take... We got to take our medicine. We got to take it. You can't just be looking for the quick fix. The quick fix, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. You know, Brother Hagin used to talk about people in his services that would get supernaturally healed from things, and then he would see them again. They would get healed, never like out of wheelchairs and stuff, and he would see them again, and they were back in the wheelchair. What happened? They didn't grow after their breakthrough. They didn't grow after the breakthrough. We've got to just make a decision. I'm gonna grow after this breakthrough. And so the first thing he says, for this very reason, giving all diligence to add to your faith. You know, the building block, it's kind of like building block. The foundation of everything is the base. And it's our relationship with Jesus. It has to begin with faith. You have to believe, and this is like basic building block. You have to believe that Jesus truly died for your sins. You got to believe that. And you say, well, Pastor Peggy, you're talking to Wednesday night, summer, it's hot outside people. We're here. Obviously, we know that. You'd be surprised. We may have a head knowledge of it, but we're still dealing with guilt and shame and pain and trying to pay for our own sins through perfectionism. Amen? A lot of people are trying to pay for their wrongs by being perfect. Well, if I don't mess up anymore, then I'll be okay. No, that's not how it works. You got to believe that Jesus truly paid for your sins. He died for your sins. He rose from the grave, victorious over death. We have to believe that he is alive today. You're like, well, this is basic. This is basic. Listen, here's how you know how much you believe that. How much power do you think the devil has? Because if Jesus truly walked out of that tomb, the Bible says he defeated the enemy when he did it. And so if you're still thinking the enemy is not defeated and you're afraid of him, you need to grow in your knowledge of what Jesus did when he walked out of that tomb. Amen? It wasn't just a day pass, like where he defeated the enemy that day. No, he defeated the enemy for eternity. Amen? For eternity. But you got to know that. So that first building block is faith. Don't be the person that says, oh, I'm born again. I don't need to know anything. No, you're born again. Now you need to add to it knowledge. Right? Knowledge. You got to add to it knowledge. Be the one who knows. Be the one who knows what the word says. And so we've got to know that he is alive today and that he wants a relationship with us. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. We're going to close up here in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. I'm reading out of the NIV. He says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, you know why this is so important? Here's why it's so important. Because Paul is writing this, because here we are, we're all like, hello, we know that Jesus died for our sins, right? I can see it on your little faces. You're like, hello, I know that. But, you know, it's so easy when somebody comes and starts telling you something different. Because here's what happened. People that saw Jesus, saw him crucified, and saw him walk out of the tomb. You know, the Bible says that over 500 people saw the same man that was crucified on the cross. He was walking around town. If there was news, it'd be on the news. And so these are some of the same people. And so they knew what happened. They knew the miracle that happened. They knew it. But then somebody came, a slick talker started coming and started telling these same people that that Jesus had taught, that Paul had taught, that the disciples had taught. How many of those are some pretty good teachers? Started telling them that, oh, no, you still need to be circumcised. That's great what Jesus did. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you still got to do something. You still got to pay. You still got to be good. You still got to whatever the enemy is saying. And they turned a whole group of people and even filtered into the church, changed their doctrine. And that's why Paul is telling them, listen, you can't lay anything on this foundation. Nothing is laid on this foundation other than Jesus Christ crucified. There's no additions. There's no subtractions. His sacrifice paid the price for our salvation, period. Paid the price. You can't lay anything else on there. But you know what? Sometimes we do. I know I'm forgiven. I have people in my office say this often, more times than I'd like to admit. I know God has a plan for me, but I know I'm forgiven, but no, you need that foundation. You need to understand the power of the blood. And until you do, you're always going to feel guilty. You're always going to be trying to pay the price for your sin. Shame will always have an open door in your life. You have got to know the power of the blood. Amen. You got to know it. Amen. You got to know it. And if I'm saying that to you tonight, and you're like, man, I don't know that. I don't know that. You need to know it. Amen. It's not just a song. It's the life of Jesus. There's power in the blood. Only the blood of Jesus. And I tell you, the very first sermon that I ever preached, very first one, yes, it was in Bible college. And one of the things you have to do in Bible college is you have to preach in front of all your peers and all your instructors. And you get graded. It's pretty nerve-wracking, you know? And everybody takes turns, and you get a paper, and it's like, it's a lot. And so I remember my very first message. I still have it. I could show it to you tonight. I still have it with my grade. And you know what I was doing? I was chewing gum. Can you believe that? What was I thinking? My instructor wrote on my paper, "Are you chewing gum?" But I was just so nervous. I forgot. Because I was so nervous, right? Were you nervous? Oh, you were very nervous. Yeah, you were very nervous. So anyway, but my very, very first message that I ever preached, you know what it was on? Forgiveness. And I'll tell you why. Because I was a believer, but because I had so many mistakes and so much sin as a believer, I mean, it's easy to kind of be like, oh, that was before I knew Jesus. No, I had a lot when I knew Jesus, right? And that just makes it hard. It made it harder for me. Because the enemy was always like, oh, you knew better. What was I going to say? I did know better. You sinned against God. I did, right? And so he just constantly was making me feel disqualified and like there was no way and that I could never escape, because I had some pretty big sin, never escape the monumentalness of these sins. And so my very first message was on forgiveness. Because thank God I had enough sense to know that if I don't get this, nothing I build on it will last. This is your foundation. You got to know what it means to be born again. You got to know. It's not just going to heaven. That's the biggie. But it means your sins are forgiven. It means they're removed as far as the east is from the west. Amen? It means they are blotted out. The Bible says they're blotted out. That God cannot remember them anymore. How is all that possible? The power of the blood of the Son of God. That's how. And I tell you, I took months, and that's all I studied other than my schoolwork, was forgiveness. But once I got it, oh, I got it. And when the enemy would come and say, oh, but I'd be like, yep. And he'd come, yep, that was me. It was me. I did it. But God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love for us, amen, you got to know. And if you struggle, you don't know. You don't know. Because once you know, it takes care of the struggle. You got the knowledge. So then when it comes back up, now you always got to be buffing it up. Because how many know? We leak. We leak. But once you know, once that foundation is laid, then what you build on top of that is going to be strong. Because you got the foundation, you know what salvation means. Amen? You know. If you're sitting here today and you're like, man, I need to know this. Listen, I didn't learn that just by sitting in church. I learned that by sitting in church and getting Brother Hagin books and reading them. Amen? I learned it by giving all diligence. You're not going to learn it when all you do is Netflix. You're not going to learn it when all you're doing is that kind of thing. You've got to put some time. The Bible says, for this very reason, you got to give it all you got. Amen. Doesn't mean you can never watch TV, but it needs, you got to have a good balance so that you can lay that foundation so what you're laying on top of it is firm and solid and the enemy can't bust it because it's built on the blood. Amen. But you got to do it. How are you going to maintain your breakthrough? Get the knowledge. Because if you don't, you're going to be making a U-turn. And you're going to go right. Whatever it is, whatever it is. Mine was forgiveness. Maybe yours is healing. Maybe it's past trauma that you've had. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe your mind is a little goofed up. Whatever it is, we've all got something. All of us, we all have something. But you got to get the word on it so that you can maintain your breakthrough. Because God doesn't want you to go back. He wants you to go up. Oh, that's really good right there. That's good. If that's not for you, that's for me. Let's pray. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person here that you would stir in our hearts a desire to grow, to give all diligence to add to our faith, Lord. That, Father, we would just grow in our knowledge of you, who you are, and the magnitude of what you've done. You gave your life. And it's not just any life. The Son of God allowed his blood to be spilt on the mercy seat. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, help us grow in that knowledge. Let us be filled with the knowledge of grace and peace. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I just believe there's some people here and you're like, where do I start? Where do I start? I don't even know where to start. Start by adding to your Bible reading, adding to it Brother Hagin books. You say, why are you always pushing Brother Hagin? Because he's my father in the faith. That's why. Because his ministry is a ministry of honor. It's a ministry of the supernatural power of God. It's a ministry of longevity. It's a ministry of the word being taught openly. Start with one of these tiny Brother Hagin books. The New Birth. Why Tongues. How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. The Triumphant Church. We have them out here. What a sad situation that they sit out on these shelves, not being read, not being digested. What a sad thing. And people keep doing U-turn after U-turn after U-turn when the knowledge you need is available. That's a sad thing. You got to grow after your breakthrough. You got to grow in knowledge, or you'll be right back there. So where do you start? You start by picking up a book, picking up a tape series, watching YouTube videos of Brother Hagin or Kenneth Copeland or Joyce Meyer, these people that have been proven in the faith. You say, well, what about this person? That they might be great, but man, I want somebody who's proven 80 years, 60 years of ministry. I want that. I want that, because I have seen those ministries do amazing things in people's lives. So you want to know where to start? That's where you start, because it's proven, and it's trusted. And so, Father, I thank you that you help each one of us grow. You didn't come here and break through things for us to go back to it. You came here and you broke through things for us. You're the God of the breakthrough so we could go to the next level. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Amen. I don't know about you. That was some good teaching right there. Yes. Amen. That's Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost makes you better than you are? Yes. He does. He does. Well, let's receive our offering. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Man, I just know it. There's some new levels in here. And some of you have been kind of like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You know, God did this in my life, but I don't know what to do now. Now you know. Now you know. Now you know. And I'm being, listen, I like these, there's a lot of big shot guys, and everybody shares their stuff on Facebook, and, you know, like, you know, I don't want to name any name, but those guys are great. But when you want your foundation, you go to the legends. Amen. You go to the men and women who are legends in the faith, not just showed up the last 5 years. Those guys, are nothing against them. They're great. Man, I heard a great message by somebody the other day, and it was awesome. But to build my foundation, I'm going to go to the legends. I'm going to go to Kenneth Hagin. I'm going to go to Kenneth Copeland. I'm going to go to Joyce Meyer. I'm going to go to Lester Summerall. I'm going to go to these guys who have been through it. Amen? That's who I'm going to go to, because they are the ones who know how to get the job done. And in 10 years, we'll say the same thing about these young guys. We'll say the same thing about them. But for now, I'm just telling you what I believe as your pastor. You say, what do? Go to the big dogs. Because they're big dogs for a reason. Yeah. Amen? They're big dogs for a reason. And so go, you can watch Brother Hagin's videos on YouTube. And don't pay attention to all the negativity. Whenever there is a power and a move of God, there's always going to be haters. Always. You can type in anybody, there's going to be haters. Ignore that. Don't click on it. Because you just feed it. You feed it. Brother Hagin is not heresy. And don't click on that crap. And that's what it is. I shouldn't say that word in church, but that's exactly what it is. It is crap. It's just people that don't know the word. But watch some Brother Hagin videos. Watch Kenneth Copeland. Watch these people or listen to them and get your foundation. That's where it comes from. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, Lord.